FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. It is Friday, the 21st of April, 2023. It's a Sports Friday with Eric Sawyer. I'm still waiting on a word from Mr. Sawyer to see where he is. Hopefully he can join us this morning for a little bit of talk about the first week of the NBA playoffs. We've got two Bahamians in the playoffs, if you count our friend Thompson, Klay Thompson, Golden State Warriors is a Bahamian. DeAndre Ayton with the Suns made it through. Mr. Sawyer just sent me a message. He is excited. He is on the way. I've got a guest in studio. Joining me today is Mr. Stanley Mitchell, documentarian, photographer, publisher, and sports historian. Please introduce yourself, Mr. Mitchell.
Hi, good morning, Bahamas. I'm all that she just said, plus a videographer.
Yes, sir. I want to get to a little housekeeping just before we get into our discussion today. Hopefully, you could answer some questions for me. We're going to be talking about Carifta, and we're going to be talking about the national sport. Pumpkin Eater, I know you're listening. I just want you to know that I always have time to object to government decisions, even if they don't want to pay attention. But more importantly, I think there is room to expand, right, the space of national sport. I'm going to throw some ideas out there today. So remember, tomorrow, April the 22nd, Saturday that is both World Earth Day and it is National Parks Day. And if you were tuned into Mr. Dwight Strawn's Morning Blend, we had the senior communications officer from BNT sharing some of the things that you can do on World Earth Day and National Parks Day. I think Bonefish Park is going to have kayaking, which is going to be a lot of fun. The retreat, that is, I think, Village Road, National Park in the sort of, not center, we're in the east, but in the capital. The retreat on Village Road, opposite QC, lots of free fun activities for kids and adults this Saturday from 9 to 4. It's going to be a good time. You can go on Facebook to find the flyers, and you can call BNT to find out which parks are open and what you need to access them and how many people you could bring along for the good time. Also, we've got two major events happening this weekend. We've got the Bering Point Fish Fry Fest, the first ever, this Saturday from 12 noon to 12 midnight, Bering Point, Andrus. The boat is leaving, bright and early Saturday morning to head to Andrus, you can contact organizers at 442-2024. And I want to say congratulations to the Bearing Point Community Development Association and Mr. Cornelius McKinney for this valiant effort. They are bringing to you the newest festival on the Bahamian calendar. And happening also this weekend, it's regatta time again, people. The National Family Island Regatta, Exuma, Bahamas, the 18th to the 22nd of April, 2023. That means it's already been going on. If you're looking for results, you can find them on the National Family Island Regatta, Exuma page. Search National Family Island Regatta, Exuma, Bahamas. Search that page. And you're going to find the results for this year's, well, the results so far for the National Family Island Regatta. So, Mr. Mitchell.
Yes.
Let's talk. I was unable to make it to Charifta. This is a good thing. Yeah, I don't like to outshine little children. They're good, you know, and this is their time to shine. And it's our job as adults to create the environment for them to shine. In fact, I think that's why I broke my leg, so I wouldn't feel compelled to go out there and bust on the track and raise some of these little children and show them that us old heads still got it in us. So I was unable to get out to Charifta this year. Very upset about it because I'm obviously reading up on it, very interested in this year's games, the Special Olympics Bahamas team was out there. They competed. They had a great showing, and I missed that. But there's some other events that I missed, and I just want to read an article from the Bahamas Information Services. Thousands attended Charifta Games in a transformed Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Project manager of the games, Janine McCartney, put the transformation of the stadium into perspective. The Legends Walk at the road entrance was restored, reigniting the history of sports in the Bahamas. The pond was beautified, and the historic bunker, the Charifta Museum bunker, near the Kendall G. Isaacs Gym was refurbished and reopened for tours. I want to talk about that because I don't know how many people know about these elements of the Charifta Games and of the Sports Center. Very important. And I imagine that when we go to the national sports discussion, that these spaces, right, in a consultative process where you go to the people to ask their opinion, like what you think should be the national sport, I would expect people would say, you know what? Well, what we should do before we make that decision is let's go down to the history museum, you know, let's go down to the Legends Walk and get a sense of who the legends were and what sports, right, were prominent, and why are these athletes legendary in these sports, right, to make these types of decisions. Now, maybe that's super critical, but if it were my job, right, that's what I would think about doing. And so tell us about the importance of the Legends Walk, the museum bunker. Tell us what they are and what do they mean when they say they refurbished it. I will confess, I have not seen the Legends Walk, nor have I seen the museum.
Wow.
And I think there are many people who, this may have been maybe their first time hearing about it.
This is their first time hearing about the bunker, but I thought that most people would have known about the Legends Walk. But it's, I don't want to get myself in trouble. There are too many hands and too many things that don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Hall of Fame by the Ministry of Sports. There's a Legends Walk at the airport also as you come in. And then there's this thing out in the front of the Sports Center that was actually done to recognize Michael Thompson for being an NBA player, first round draft rings and all that, and they named it Michael Thompson's Way, as you leave Thompson Boulevard and go into the stadium.
Okay.
But it wasn't done by the sports people. It was done by the Ministry of Tourism. Where does the Ministry of Tourism get the authority to do a sports walk and put people up there?
Where?
On this walk. They name them and they put them up. And the only reason they get to do it at that time, I guess, was they paid for it.
Yeah.
But it's stupid.
And I would expect, like, Ministry of Tourism, we know you got the lion's share of the budget. I mean, we know you're producing it, right? Nobody dissing. We know you're making the money.
I dissing.
And we know you're making the money, but why can't you make the money available and then allow the entity that's using it to determine the criteria for its use?
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And let's, you know, I like this point because if we're going to use sports tourism to enhance and build the capacity of the local sports space, right? We're going to somehow say, look, we're going to entertain this because it gives us an opportunity to grow the local discipline, grow the local infrastructure, bring attention to local activity and local athletes, then tourism has got to create an office to communicate directly with sports. Because tourism can't make the decisions about sports, even though we're going to cater to you and ask you for your support. But I see sports tourism as the government's next tourism focal point, right?
Next.
Yeah, I mean, they're expanding it.
They think they're doing it now.
Yeah, no, they're not quite there yet. Okay, yeah, yeah. And it's our job to show them that and to push them along,
thank
right?
Thank you very much.
But there has to be a different level of communication between the two entities.
Definitely. Same thing with this sailing thing. You would think that in a 50th year that people would be engaged to do something about the changing or the leaving of the name mm-hmm. of the sport now. Then you get this announcement that we name in this thing sailing.
Yeah.
National means nation. It means it should be led by the prime minister, the head of the nation, and there should be all kinds of songs and drawings and the children engaged. And just tell me it's sailing.
Yeah.
How many people are saying it's a dying sport?
Now, I'm going to love to have this debate in a second, right? Guardian article early in the week. Last week, sailing named the national sport of the Bahamas. I just want to read a quote from Danny Strawn, who is the Commodore of the National Family Island Regatta, right? And he says, I am proud and elated because I was the lone wolf for more than 20 years campaigning and crying out in the wilderness for sailing to be the national sport. I spoke to the current prime minister and he saw to it that sailing is now the national sport. It was one of my dreams and something that I had on my bucket list when I became chairman and commodore of National Family Island Regatta. Now, when I get into the research that I've done from other countries about how you choose national sport, what the criteria is, right? I will posit that sloop sailing is in the running for national sport. You can't deny it should be in the running.
It's not in the running. You got 30 boats between A, B, and C, and you have 10 to 15 people on them boats. You got 400 or 500 people, and that's it. And it's
right.
Dying, and if the Long Islanders don't keep doing it and going at it, we're going to have no. And
okay.
Then the next thing I can hear, we putting a bunch of money behind this thing that don't make no sense.
Okay, I really appreciate that argument. I'll also add that people will say that it's elitist, and that although
it's not elitist, the one part of it is
okay.
The high end part of it
okay.
is. I always argued about Sir Derwood and Cecil Cook, and it being so graciously entertained, but I can't get a boat that can go to Australia and go in a race. And no one I know has the means to do that.
But then I'm going to say, how many young boys them on Kemp Road could get up and build a boat? Like, right. How easy is it? Right? So it's not, even at the lower end, it's not as accessible as we would like to pretend it
Thank
is.
You very
and
like,
no, I have that argument. The place where I put the weight of my argument is here, that, and this is from like Wikipedia, if it's not popular, the sport should be important in some cultural way and therefore worthy of conservation, reenactment, and reverence, right? And so because of our archipelagic nature, because the boat and sailing is such an integral part of our identity, piracy, wrecking, tourism, the sponging, the fishing, smuggling.
They are not all the same boats.
No, I would, but see, my argument.
And the same sailing.
Right. My argument, though, would be not to make it sloop sailing specifically, but to make it sailing generally. That would have been my, like, if I were to choose sailing, it would be sailing generally and not sloop sailing specifically.
Let's go back 1 second.
Okay.
I'm not against sloop sailing, and I'm not against it actually being chosen, like you said, as the national sport. I don't like the way it is done.
Yeah.
That bothers me that two people or five people could just say that's going to be that. That's dictatorial to me.
Right. That's my primary concern. Again, if it ain't porking, I don't care.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if it ain't porking, I don't care.
You know what a dray is?
I know what a dray load is.
Well, you know what a dray is actually.
Right, that then the dray load comes from that, right?
Right.
Is it the type of boat?
No.
This is a
donkey carrying
right.
stuff from the dock, and you lay your
right, right.
your package of rice and all this on it, and it had iron wheels. You want to name that something? Because that was the way we did it back in the day, taking stuff from. We don't do sailing. Now, there's a new sailing, not new, but the young people have the this little boat skiff
like,
thing.
Yeah, like the Optimist, the little laser
thing.
That
is coming.
Yeah.
That is real. That is where everybody can participate. So, but sloop sailing, because it sounds cute and it says it is something that nobody else does in the world, other people do it.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't pick it. Like, I don't think it's unique to us, but I think the archipelagic nature. See, here's another thing, right? It's 2023. We're the largest archipelago in the region. We got an island. The capital is 21x7. We've driven the residents of the family island into the capital. Right, I say it's a standard urbanization campaign. You reduce state expenditure on infrastructure by pulling people to the center. Right, so we're driving people to the center. We're an island amongst islands, yet cars. The island is almost sinking under the weight of cars. I think there's been whether unspoken or spoken policy, right, to push car use over boat use. I think that, like, in terms of our regional, global, our regional politics, the U.S. encourages us to not be boat people because we're problematic on the water, right? That's why I would say sailing as well. That's a nice term. We're problematic on the water. And so I think culturally, if the leaders would be, if we were paying attention, right, that we wouldn't have evolved to this place. See, because I can see what you're saying, like, how are boats culturally relevant, like, right now? Because only the very, very rich people could go to the sailaways, unless you could hop on a boat because you have a friend, right? Only the very rich people are going over to Exuma for the day.
Let me divide it for you.
Okay.
Try. If you stop homecomings or regattas, without the boats will go away. There'll be no races.
Yeah.
Sorry, Donnie. But this thing is more about homecoming than regatta. Ask anyone who's been to homecoming if they ever seen a race.
I can't argue with you because that's a question to put on the table, right? What is really driving regatta and regatta popularity?
But let me finish the point.
Yeah,
you go to Hong Kong.
Uh-huh.
You have a hydrofoil running. You have a ferry running between the mainland and what we call the island. You have cars. You have trains and subways. And you have junks, which is their cultural boat. And they evolved all of the forms of transportation, including all to your point about being forced into to doing something. They're still overcrowded, but they've used every means to, you know, eliminate having one overwhelm the other. So I still, it should have been a national debate. It should have been a non-binding referendum.
Yes, I agree.
Where people could have some say.
And they should be able to have some say.
And you and I shouldn't even be able to sit on a radio and browbeat people to saying it should or shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I just doing my point. Have something. Let me say yay or nay and let that count somewhere. And let's come up with it.
And
something that's done four times a year. People playing basketball, softball in this country every day on every court. You go to Montague day and night.
Right.
What's that?
Well, listen, older generations of Bahamians, and like Governor General C.A. Smith, who at the opening of Andre Rogers Stadium said, I can't wait for baseball to return to its prominence, number one sport in the Bahamas. It was almost like he was giving a nod to baseball, you know, and its consideration for national sport. 2023, right? And
then, but listen to him, because not only is he saying that, he's also silently saying, look at the amount of young people now entering the higher ranks and making money.
Absolutely.
Off that sport.
And then look at the foundational space in the sport, the number of entities, institutions now, because we got Mario Ford has been running 35 years now, right?
Yeah.
There's a culture, institutions established and entrenched, right? And so I appreciate that. The younger generations will say, their argument is, and I think Mr. Sawyer will be here soon to join that.
What is he, younger or older?
Well, he's younger than me. So okay. He's good. Look at the proliferation of basketball courts.
Yeah.
Everywhere, every school. Some schools have 2 and 3 courts, right? The young people have ball. They don't have calculator, but they have ball, right? They play in tennis. They play in slippers. They play basketball under the street light. That if young people's opinions were considered, they would say, but basketball should be the national sport. We've already established ourselves and we're growing. And so it should be.
But they will only be included in the number of other people who are voicing their opinions.
Yeah.
Check the age group on an A-class sailing boat and the size of the people.
Right. Then is the next consideration. Is it really a sport if you don't sweat? If I can't tell the difference between sweat and seawater, is it really a sport? They are sailing people. When I went to boarding school, Mr. Mitchell, we took a sailing class.
You can call me Unks, man.
Yes, sir. We took a sailing class, and I was paired up with the teacher for the class. So we didn't go in the little small boat, the tiny boat, little plastic boat. We went in a much larger boat. And so it came this point in the lesson where it was time to learn how to capsize the boat. And I looked at this boy and I tell him, no, sir. I am from the Bahamas. What you're going to teach me how to do is how to not capsize the boat, and I'll figure everything else out from there. Sailing is a part of our culture, but it's not my experience alone that should decide that. And it's not the Prime Minister's experience, and it's not one particular administration's experience, and it's not any particular generation's right to make that decision, which leads to another point. That having a process, a transparent process, is required to create a model or a policy. So when it's time to do it again, you can do it again. And I think that is necessary because things are changing quickly.
Yes.
You know.
Let's get back to the original. Why was cricket chosen as the national sport?
Now, I'm going to say colonial powers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But somebody, a little birdie, whispered to me, Africans create cricket. Did black people create, like, did you know that hockey, ice hockey, was created by Africans? Yeah. Black people, the first people to play it. Did y'all know that?
You know that?
Was cricket created by Africans?
No.
Okay.
But be that as it may, why was it chosen as the national sport?
Because the colonials told us that's what it was going to be.
The colonials told us this will, anyhow, I can't say that.
Where can we find this most important piece of thing that you can't say on the air, but may be important? Like, I can find
it. No, it's unwritten. It's unwritten by the colonials and then the West Indians that came this way later and popularized and popularized the sport.
Yes.
But it was something to look up to. You wore white. It was a gentleman's game.
Ah, yes.
It made these savages look like people. You didn't row in cricket. Mm-hmm. Don't row me.
Mm-hmm. Morning.
So it was, you know, and we gravitated to it at the mm-hmm. time. But we never actually joined. We didn't have a player join the West Indies
team.
Or we never chosen. But it was chosen as, it's all this individualism and people making choices for us that we're not a part of. And that's why I detest this sailing and sloop sailing as the national sport.
Yeah, because we were never consulted.
No, we weren't.
Yeah.
And that's it. And in the 50th year, where celebrations and money is flowing to do things and have contests and ask questions.
And a comment from that article in The Guardian. You guys should check out this article. Sailing named the national sport of the Bahamas. Clay Sweeting tells us there are 18 senior regattas and 17 junior sailing events annually. But that's not what I want to read. I want to read this comment from Mr. Fox, who is also, I think he may be the Long Island, Family Island Regatta chair or commodore. But he says that, for now the sailing community will wait and see how much of a difference the national sport tag makes for their sport. See, in the absence of conversation, right? So you didn't call us to talk about consultation. Which means that we also didn't have a conversation about what it means to be chosen as a national sport, what we should expect from that, right? At the very least, are you going to print T-shirts for the 50th Independence that say sailing is a national sport and we all could wear it?
You know, back a minute. Who decided this was, good morning, sir, was going to be the Ministry of... Agriculture and Fisheries or the Ministry of Sport?
Remember, Clay Sweeting is also now responsible for Family Island Affairs. And it's another
I say national sport.
I know. And agriculture and I guess now Family Island Affairs are responsible for regattas.
So he gets to say what's the national sport? That's a long shot.
Well, right, and so this is a part of it. Because you didn't tell us what's the process for choosing, you didn't tell us what's the result, what does it mean to be the national sport?
I've been wrong enough
to know.
It
should have been some sort of national poll or something done.
Right, and what
first
is the,
and foremost, to see.
Like, what is the policy? You know, which ministry should it sit under? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't it sit under sports and a joint between sports and culture?
Yes.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, I heard y'all on the way here, mm-hmm. you know, and basketball is indeed very popular. Cricket is a sport that I learned in 2007 while I was off to school on the World Cup of Cricket was held in Jamaica. And I learned, you know, just by having to watch it because that was everything, you know, because I didn't know what cricket was. I didn't even know that you have to toss back the cricket ball if it ever goes into the stands. You don't get to keep the ball, you know.
Right, because they're expensive.
You know
how long it takes to make one of them?
You know, and if rain happens, you know, and it's the seventh over, or whatever you want to call it, you know, that's like an inning in cricket. You know, they actually have a ball. Let's say the game has to be played in another month.
Yeah.
They have a ball. They have balls that are actually like set aside that have the correct nicks and knacks on it to say that this is a ball for the seventh over. So they actually get a ball for the seventh over and say that we're going to use this.
This
so,
a real...
So it won't be like...
I see the point that you're making about the sport. Why?
It's a gentleman's sport. It really is. Like, you know, there are rules in place and nobody supersedes any rule.
Yeah, that's why I haven't read it yet. We all got to read Beyond the Boundary, the story about when the West Indies team first beat Britain, when the first time West Indies, all us need to, that's not to say that cricket needs to be the national sport.
Oh, no, that
just, is. Just to say that we need to read that book to understand why West Indians have invested so much in cricket, like what that moment meant for the West Indies, mm-hmm. and see that possibly as a moment when the Bahamas and the West Indies sort of made a further diversion, right? Because that moment it obviously does not hold the same place in the Bahamian psyche.
Well, I mean, it depends. It depends on the age bracket that you're talking to. You know?
That too.
I have a neighbor, Charlie Gator, loves cricket.
Yeah.
Was a part of the junior national cricket team back in the day.
Yeah. And I got a neighbor. So in fact, let me do this for a second.
Yeah.
I got a neighbor. He don't play cricket, but you mentioned Sasobas. And he can let you know, buddy, I was there. Good morning and happy birthday to the winningest soccer coach in the Bahamas. The best soccer coach in the history of the Bahamas. Youth soccer, Mr. Leslie A. Mins, the Truck Truckers, and the Virgo Angels. Ain't nobody is a better coach than this boy in the entirety of the Bahamas. Happy birthday.
Truth.
Boy.
Happy birthday, boy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. My boy. Anyway, let's get back to this conversation. Mr. Mitchell, the young people, we taking it over. We telling them we want a process. We need you to create a criteria, set a model, so when it's our turn to make the decision, we can...
Follow some sort of...
Yeah, that's not an age-directed thing. That's just normal practice, as far as I'm concerned.
True.
Anybody, old, young, old, or in between.
Should be a part of it.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure that in another 20 years, in another 30 years, we know what to do.
Well, you're telling me I have to accept this one now?
No. A pumpkin need a police call in so we could row. No. We always have the ability to object. We always have the ability to protest. And here's the beautiful thing. In most countries, well, here's the sort of the protocol. You can establish a national sport by law. You can pass a law, an act. Sloop sailing is a national sport. But a lot of countries have like a legal national sport and then they have the cultural thing. So for instance, in Britain, cricket is a national sport, but soccer is the biggest game.
Look down at the stadium. You have a $50 million stadium facing a $50 million stadium.
And none of them is cricket.
None of them is cricket. None of them is sloop sailing.
Yeah. And shouldn't that, like, because, you know, this is a place where money talks.
And you say, psyche, who forgets the Golden Girls and who forgets the Golden Knights?
Yeah.
When they won their medals, that's still in our psyche. So I was in Brylan one time and I stumbled out to the dock, half cut, and middle of the day, and a race was starting with sloop sailing.
Uh-huh.
And I stood there not understanding how it really goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard these older fellas stay out on the mailboat trying to look up the stream to see the race. And they start talking about luffing and he can tack here. And boy, if you don't tack, you can miss the buoy and he can come around and beat you and cut you. I say, oh, this is a little exciting sport when it gets to the buoy and going around.
Yeah.
It's not a sport you can sit and watch. It's not an Indy 500. It's a nice sport to go to, but national sport, I think not.
But in the same breath, while you may have been in Harbour Island at the time, you know they have a bar in Harbour Island called the Vickham.
In the middle of a bar
is a basketball court. Believe it or not, it have no roof, but they have a basketball.
Now listen, here's what I'm saying. The debate in and of itself is worth it, right? This is the space where you, like, for some reason y'all feel like you're going to make your job of governing easier by, like, just pretending, like, if we could just pretend the citizens don't exist, that we could just do this governing thing with ease. But it is the debate itself that drives inclusion. It's the debate itself that drives patriotism. When people say, look here, This my corner of the rock I go hold on to. And Green, I respect your opinion, you know. Porkin, I grew up doing that.
Oh, yeah.
But listen to what Mr. Mitchell's saying, too. I could hold on to that, too. It gives us all a part of the nation to hold on to and build up. So I can't get mad at Strawn, right? But I need Strawn to sort of hear himself and hear his words. He said, lone wolf. Crying out in the wilderness. So it's one of two things, right? Either you're the only person who really think this is a vibe.
Don't say it.
Or you have not engaged the processes, right? You haven't engaged the people. You haven't built a conversation. You haven't identified the attraction, the popularity.
That's the key.
Right.
Right there.
To actually understand. What is what?
Yeah.
What do I tell my six-year-old grandson? He asks me, Papa, why that's the national sport?
Yeah.
I don't know the process. Know why, right? I don't know the policy. I ain't no one talk about it. They tell us one day, Chief, that's it.
Yeah, man, should have been some sort of press conference. I can start at the beginning. Should have been at least a poll.
Yeah.
A poll to see what you believe should be the national sport.
Absolutely.
Seeing that we are indeed Bahamians, this you is our country.
You could have run it right from here and start marking down.
Right,
and
just taking. Right, that's what he's saying.
Tracking, parking.
Yeah, we could just do it just like that. So listen, I got some text for you guys. One says 17 and 18 sailing events in a year. We play almost 17 softball games in one weekend. One week of games, yeah?
Okay, I mean, that's softball could be as well.
That's very valid. Great show as usual. As boring as cricket is, it was most definitely made by our European brothers and sisters, our European cousins.
We have no brothers and sisters.
Someone said, what about dominoes?
Well, that's another good one.
Mr. Mitchell, you know I tell people...
anything that doesn't take physical activity, except for slamming, ain't no sport. That's a game. That's something.
It's a mind game,
Yeah, it's a mind game.
All right, I got you.
I had an argument with the former minister of sports named Danny Johnson out of Carifta when we had a break. He said, y'all come with me. I said, where are we going? Just come. We went, and we had a chess team in Martinique, and they were playing against it. He said, this is mind games.
And so, like,
and
when
I
we
argued,
have...
it ain't no sport, so get that out your head.
That's for, like, the math Olympics and the brain Olympics. Right. Yeah, yeah. Which Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture, you're a partner with the Ministry of Tourism to do that, please. We already sent some students off to the world.
Lots of smart people that would love to come here.
Yeah, we sent some people, some young people off to the World Scholastic Championships. Good morning, Boost Academy. Keep supporting them young children.
Yeah, man, put them under a secret tree and say, let's do...
Producer, let's go to that call. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yeah, morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Yeah, you know, I hear y'all talking about the national sport. Remember, I did call y'all one time. I tell y'all softball should have been it. Because you have more people attend softball than any other sport.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you look at the crowd, and then you have all different age brackets.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking at when I said softball.
No, man, your contribution is great. Nobody doesn't know.
Yeah, I did call y'all. And then another thing, too. Days gone by, don't forget now, we was run by British.
Mm-hmm.
And we had cricket used to play in the school.
Yeah.
At least in my days, they had cricket in the school. They took it out. And they had the field hockey in the school. And soccer was very popular too.
Yeah.
And they had softball. Basketball was very old. That gym used to be full.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
in the 70s.
And I in fact, they had a professional league on Johnson Road. I used to, I mean, it was super popular. And in fact, it talk about community, it's just great. Go on, Mr. Mitchell.
Softball can't be the national sport.
Go.
Softball is for women and old men.
Okay, wait.
No, hold on now.
It don't go. Almost top of the world, and it killed baseball. One second. What do you get as a man playing softball?
What you mean? Softball almost.
Where
like
does
baseball.
It take you?
It's different. The ball is different.
You don't get any scholarships for men in softball. and you don't make no money in no league in the world playing softball. It only depletes baseball. You either you train as a baseball player, you play, and then when you get older, over 40, you play softball because the ball coming at you.
Yeah,
slow,
but then you ain't no national sport.
Yeah, but it ain't taking you nowhere.
You want to be professional.
I want it at all levels. Like. At all levels. The young can play baseball, the intermediate, and go right up.
And women?
Baseball.
Right.
Not softball.
It is a very popular sport. Baseball went dead years ago.
No, that's.
No, man, baseball is alive.
No.
Baseball is very. I remember when years gone by, that stadium used to be full. Years gone by, when with those Delta and them different team names.
I
used to go watch baseball and everything went there, just like a basketball going right now.
Yeah, 30-year thing.
Thank you very much, caller. And see, because these are the discussions we should be having.
Yeah, man.
Young Bahamian should be here. I'm glad somebody else was around, because I was about to.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that was pretty healthy just now.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to say, I'm going to reach out to Danny Strawn. There's another article in The Guardian, sloop sailing highlighted in documentary, right? With a focus on the sport, a group of persons came together and created a documentary titled How the Mainsail Sets. The 80-plus-minute documentary showcases the work that Bahamian boat builders and sailors put into their craft, showcasing their skills and talent at regatta time. Some of the sailors featured in the documentary include Lloyd Sands from Andres, Huey Lloyd, teenager Tanaj Manos, and Mark Knowles from Long Island. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. I just want to know, there was no women on that list. Where are the women sailors and boat builders? Mr. Butler, I need you to come on my show. Let's talk about that. Good morning. You're on the clock.
Yes, good morning. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I just thought I would call in since somebody mentioned softball.
Yep.
The fact of the matter is that men do play softball, and women play softball, but no women play baseball. So if you got to choose between those two, and I don't think none of us will, it definitely cannot be baseball. Because only male play baseball.
No one said anything about choosing baseball. I was just announcing the part of softball that shouldn't be considered.
Because there's no equity.
There's no equity in it. Nothing.
But when you really think about it, right? There are any number of baseball players in the major league right now who will tell you that they did play softball as a youngster and it helped them with their baseball game.
It hurt them more than helped them.
No.
I'm a baseball and softball player, and I know the difference. I know the timing, and it hurt them.
Well, you see, it has been documented last year during the playoffs in baseball that the one of the left fielders, I can't remember the team right offhand, said that softball enhanced his baseball abilities. And he said that.
You're talking about a local person?
No, in the major leagues. He said it on ESPN.
One guy out of 300 million people?
And him? The fact of the matter is you need one to say it. Others may not have the opportunity to do so.
You heard any Bahamians say it?
How many Bahamians played softball and baseball and it didn't hurt them?
But listen, caller, thank you. I appreciate the point.
My argument is that more both male and female play softball. Females do not play baseball.
Thank you.
Okay.
And I appreciate the point Mr. Mitchell was making also. It's about the ability to move up and forward. Like, where does it take you? You know, what are your career options? But listen,
Which means then, I guess my point is, I guess my argument just wins, I guess, by default. Basketball should be the national sport.
Man, look here.
Playing basketball.
Well, I mean, not everybody, because Buddy and Kai didn't make it.
Men and women can play basketball.
True. Jonquil and...
And Buddy.
And Kai and DeAndre are playing in the professional leagues.
Okay.
Let's, Mr. Mitchell, it's time to transition now to NBA. Fortunately, we have a Bahamian in the playoffs.
And he won last night.
They won.
Yeah.
So it is now...
2-1.
2-1, Phoenix versus Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah,
I leave that to y'all. I don't get involved in them foreign people's sports. I trying to get a fellas from stop dictating to me what mine could be. Y'all talk about that. I don't look at it. I don't listen to it.
Gotcha.
But anyhow.
No, I got you. I understand that's a great position as well, right? We need to talk about it. What are we doing sports for? Are we doing sports for us? Are we doing sports to be a part of some American gays? You know, are we doing it because we want to be American? Are we producing athletes for us? And I guess that's a part of the last caller's position, right? Looking at softball and participation. Uh-huh. If it's just for us, you know, what's the consideration? But dear government, y'all missed this opportunity to engage Bahamians about things that are real in their lives, you know? And next time, let's do it differently. Let's create more inclusive processes, right?
I don't hear no one saying, "Oh, my boy, I pull for the West Indies team. I for Pakistan. I for England." Because we don't do that.
Yeah.
So,
you know, in the next segment with Guardian Radio AM, if Mr. Newry allows me, we're going to be talking about this thing called ontological Americanness, right?
Ooh.
Where you are, it's an amnesic state, right? You are so consumed by American culture, American systems, American language, that you forget you're not American. And
that's my favorite subject.
Oh, as soon as you go to America, you know right away you ain't American.
Right?
I don't mean that. I mean, we've been institutionalized. That little square screen, I sit with the fellas on the boulevard and I said, "You know what Shawnee ran last week?" "No, what she ran?" But they could tell me what LeBron did, how many points he had, how many assists, how much
he
makes.
That's because of the media. Mm-hmm. That's because of the media.
And it's been bombarding us for the last 50 years.
That's because of the media. That's what he got
and,
of the media.
And it's impacted our perceptions about sport, what the national sport should be, and how we make that decision. All been informed by this thing.
These other people.
Right, and the idea that we forget that we're not them. An example.
That's because of our position to the United States, because in Jamaica,
right.
But let me tell you something, every day, all day, it's just Jamaican sports.
Yeah, it's proximity. Now, let me read these texts, because, boy, this is exciting. Aaron, tell Tonka the Lions say behave, softball is it. They laugh. And it says, "Aaron, I agree, softball don't do nothing for the young men." Okay. Aaron, personally, I think that in a democracy, the people should choose their national sport, or it should be studied as to what sport we play the most at any and all levels.
Basketball.
And that result needs to be made the national sport, because most people are doing it nationwide. It shouldn't be a one person or small group of persons choice, because it doesn't accurately represent our identities.
Well spoken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
You know who Rommel Knowles is?
I know the name, yeah.
You know who David Stern is?
David Stern?
Yeah.
Of course.
Which you don't know the president of the Olympic Committee in the Bahamas.
Right. But I know David Stern.
But you know
David Stern. Yeah, the former NBA coach.
It's ontological Americanness. And so what it means is that it's a natural thing. It's because of our proximity to the U.S., right?
Right.
But what it means is that we have to be intentional. We have to be concerted in our efforts to promote Bahamian culture.
You mean like 80% music, Bahamian music being played on any radio station in the country?
Absolutely. And but for yesterday, right, and the day before, the 99% of the music I play on this show is Bahamian. It's intentional, because you're not just fighting little children who say, "Oh, I want to see what I do on the TV." You are fighting cultural imperialism. It is a system. You can't even beat that out of your children. Have to inundate them with things.
Well, I will say this.
Yeah.
Basketball and its popularity here in this country rose when we had Sweet Bells make it to the NBA.
Yeah.
Finally. We actually had a Bahamian playing ball in the NBA. And, you know, and then he rose. Right? He was a number one pick. He was traded to the Lakers. And then he won actual NBA championship rings.
Yeah.
And that was it. So, you know. But at that point, he was a Laker. And, you know, and certain people didn't like the Lakers for whatever reason. So they picked against the Lakers. That's how
I lived in
Celtic fans.
I lived in a Celtics Lakers neighborhood.
Right.
Yeah.
Celtics, Lakers, and then you had one or two rogue 76ers. Yeah. You know? And here spawned this love and popularity for the game. And we, you know, Rick Fox played for both the Celtics and the Lakers.
Listen, and that's, you know, what, see, that's okay. Listen, we get close out the show. That's Bahamian.
You know?
I ain't a part of the cult.
Yeah.
I make the cult.
Yeah.
You can't just say I's a Bahamian and I's a Bahamian. I play for the Lakers and the Celtics.
Yeah.
Look here. Gentlemen, thank you for this conversation this morning. Powers that be. The way that we do this is creating spaces for conversations like these. And here's what I mean. People are having the conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You need to create a space to expand those conversations. Bring people in where they are. This is what they want to talk about.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me just also say, y'all are still cowgirls and the Sardines still suck.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. Say that. Absolutely. Just
make sure.
Michael NFL Strawn, fans, right?
No.
Michael Strawn is the Indiana Colts. That's our guy.
Indianapolis coach.
Yeah. He didn't do well this year, but hopefully they can put you on the field next year. Just practice. Train.
He was on the field. He just was injured three games. So,
Mr. Mitchell, thank you very much. And have you back on. We got to continue this discussion. We got to create a protocol for choosing the national sport.
Yeah,
Mr. Sawyer, next week we're going to delve into the NBA playoffs.
They can be nice and tech. And the Lakers doing well, bro.
What happened to Giannis? Well. Where's Giannis?
Injured.
They can survive?
Yeah.
They did well without him.
Yeah, they blow the heat night before last. Yeah, they good.
Okay, I got to go. Producer's playing that music.
Right, twice.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr.
Thanks
Mitchell.
For having me.
You guys have a great day, but more importantly, stay tuned to Guardian Radio AM.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.